Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Several Friday nights ago, we had Pastor James Ayton here preaching, and Pastor Josh got up at the end of the meeting and just felt in God to linger a bit more, and we had a prayer meeting. And for those of you here, you remember that. And Pastor Josh said this, and it was led by the Holy Spirit. He said, look, I just really feel to pray for people who are suffering from anxiety, from stress and depression, and those related things. And he asked for people to respond, and I looked across the congregation at that time, and I was surprised. Honestly, there would have been 30% of the people lifted their hands and says, hey, I'm dealing with this. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, next time you get to preach, you need to study this because I want you to encourage people around this subject. And to be honest, I shouldn't be surprised that response happened, not from a perspective of this happening in church, but we live in a fallen world. I mean, our world is very uncertain. You know, New Zealand would never have thought they were the last country on earth that they thought what would happen to them happened to them. They're in shock because they thought they were safe from this type of terrorism. And the world is uncertain. Our jobs are uncertain. There is nothing certain in life anymore. And as a result of that, it does cause undue stress and an undue worry about things that we really don't know what's going to happen because of this situation. Safe Work Australia, the website says this about mental health issues. It says this, 7,200 Australians are compensated for work-related mental health conditions, equating to around 6% of workers' compensation claims annually. Approximately $543 million is paid in workers' compensation for work-related, that's just work-related, mental health conditions, and it's rising. It's a condition that we've got to deal with, and I want to set a foundation this morning, but before I do, I want to make this disclaimer. I am not a qualified counsellor, nor am I a psychologist. I'm a minister of the gospel and a Bible teacher. And so my authority does not come from any education, but it comes from the authority of the Word of God and the authority of Christ. And I just want to share with you what the Bible has to say about this subject. However, I will say this one thing. In studying this and talking to psychologists and talking to counselors, it's very interesting because the way in which they will treat people with these symptoms or these issues is very much how the Bible says to deal with it. So I feel like I'm in good company this morning. So as we open this up, I want to bring your attention to something we're doing in this next couple of weeks with Next Steps. We have a course called Overcoming Worry. And if this is something that you want to look more into, and hopefully today will help you step more into a level of wholeness in this, but we have this course that will help you to actually journey what it is to overcome worry in your life. Please sign up. Don't be backward. Learn and get some help. So this morning, to start this, I want to read a fairly large slab of scripture. And the scripture is found in Philippians chapter 3 and Philippians chapter 4. So stay with me, follow on the screen or open your Bible and you can read along. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do believe, those mutilators who say that you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection by which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Chapter 4, therefore, okay, so he said all that to say this. He talked about what he's gone through in life, that he pressing on to reach Jesus and see himself being perfected into Christ. To say this one thing, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Udia and Sintich. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. This is having a go at two ladies in the church. Right, they're in disagreement. Come on, girls, get it together. And I ask you, my true partners, to help those two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. So here he goes to download. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me. I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. Get this, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's awesome. These two chapters are interlinked and contain the practical instruction of how to live and the evidence of that instruction lived out. Chapter 3 shows the evidence of the instruction of chapter 4 lived out. Paul lived these instructions he's giving to the church, and he uses the two women as an excuse to download, but he lives out these instructions in his life. He lives out these principles, and the outflow and the evidence of those principles he's lived out is shown in how he describes his life and how he pursues God in chapter 3. I mean, if there was ever a man on earth, if there was ever someone who had the credentials that we would say is righteous and godly, it would have been Paul. But he said, I count all of my past, all of my abilities, all the things that I've achieved, I count them as garbage compared to gaining Christ, compared to pursuing him, compared to knowing him. These verses in this chapter are quoted so many times. Oh, that I might know him, to pursue him, to have him. We quote these verses, and truly, we would love them to be our testimony, would they not? Would it at the end of your life be able to declare the goodness and greatness of God, that you've pursued him and all that you've achieved is nothing compared to knowing him? It will be such a wonderful thing, and I would love that as my testimony in my life. Paul continues to encourage us in one pursuit only, and this is it. Know Christ, pursue Christ, know Christ. That's what it all comes down to. I would love to be able to stand at the end of my life and say, I once thought these things were valuable, but they are worthless compared to knowing him. I would love to have that as my testimony, as I'm sure you would. You see, Paul came to this place of revelation. He was able to declare these things because of the testimony of Christ in his life. What do I mean? Well, he had proven over and over and over again, no matter what he went through the tests, and the tests created his testimony. And he went through those circumstances and situations and proved God was greater in all of those circumstances. Do you want to hear some of them? I mean, seriously, we complain about things that we go through. Listen to some of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul's all speaking to a group of people who were sort of saying that they were great Christians. And he says, are they servants of Christ? In brackets, I'm out of my mind to even talk like this. Anyway, I will. I am more a servant. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea. I don't know where he could else be dangerous. And he's been in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Seriously, if anyone was anxious, Paul had a right to be anxious. I don't know how you would feel if you had to go through all of that. If I had to go through one of those things, I'm saying, God, do you seriously love me? Where are you? Why am I going through this gear? What's happening? Where are you? But Paul, at the end of his life, was to say, I count it all as nothing but to pursue Christ. He had a testimony. He went through all of that and was still at the end of his life saying, I'm the greatest sinner, but I love God. I love him. He found God in the middle of his anxiety, and he found God in the middle of his stress, and he found God in the middle of his worry, and he pursued God at all times, and all of a sudden he realized that there was a secret to living. A secret that's unfolded in this next chapter. So I've said all that to set the scene for how do we deal with the issue of anxiety, the issues of stress, the issues of oppression and depression. How do we deal with these things? Because truly, all of us have felt anxious at some time. All of us have felt stressed. The truth is, there is stress all around us, and some level of stress is good for us because it spurs us forward, right? But prolonged stress turns into worry, which turns into anxiety. So, What is anxiety? This is straight from the Beyond Blue website. This is what they say. Anxiety is more than just feeling stressed or worried. While stress and anxious feelings are a common response to a situation where a person feels under pressure, it usually passes once the stressful situation has passed or the stressor is removed. That's why we remove our children from our presence sometimes. Anxiety is when those anxious feelings don't subside. Anxiety is when they are ongoing and exist without any particular reason or cause. Anxiety is excessive worry. And here the Bible is saying, be anxious for nothing. You see, worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but won't take you anywhere. Oswald Chambers says this, worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. J.R. Rice says, it is putting question marks where God puts full stops. Worry is a guest that quickly turns into a master. If we don't control it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't do something with it, it will control us. Here's some common causes of stress that will contribute to anxiety. There's external causes, we've got internal causes, and there are spiritual causes. Here's some common external causes. Major life changes, work or school, relationship difficulties, a poor diet, financial problems, being too busy, no physical exercise, children and family are external causes of stress. There's some internal causes of stress, chronic worry, pessimism, negative self-talk. Boy, don't we do that a lot. Unrealistic expectations or perfectionism, rigid thinking, lack of flexibility, an all or nothing attitude. Perfectionism. I won't name who the person is, but there's a young man that I worked with a while ago. We're sitting around a table and he would always respond in a certain way. And I said, hey, you're a perfectionist, aren't you? And he thought about it for about 20 seconds and went, almost. See, there's spiritual causes of stress as well. Here's some spiritual causes. Lack of personal discipline. It's a nice way of saying sin. Here's another one. Uncommanded work. Doing things that God never asks us to do, because when God never asks us to do them, we're doing them in our own strength. And they can cause us unnecessary stress that leads to worry. These are just common things that we can recognize, and I'm sure there's some of those things that you can recognize in your own life that you do. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry about your life. It wasn't a nice statement. It wasn't say, hey, here's a thought for you to ponder on. He actually said a command. Do not worry about your life. Basically, he was saying this. Hey, if I can look after the birds and I can feed them, you're far more valuable to me than the birds, so I can feed you. So why the heck do you let worry worry you? Why do you get on this treadmill and start thinking about things that you have no control over? In the same scripture, he says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, the things you get worried about, that you things that are out of your control, if you seek God first, he'll look after all those things, and in due time, he will bring them along as needed. But the operative word is seek first the kingdom of God. See, it's about what we look at. It's about what we focus on. I like camera work, and I enjoy playing with my camera. It's like it's a big deal these days. You know, you buy a phone not because it's a phone, you buy a phone because it's got a good camera now, right? And so, but when you take a photo, there's usually a focal point. There's a focus. There's somebody or something you're focusing on. And that focal point becomes clear and that is sharp, and everything else around it fades into the background and is blurry, right? So when the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when we seek God, when he is our focal point, when he is the focus, he becomes sharp, he becomes clear. Everything about him we understand, everything about him we see, everything about him becomes easier, and all the rest of the stuff becomes blurred because we are focusing on him. But here's the deal. When we focus on unknown worries, unknown things, everything becomes blurred because we don't even know what those things are, so we can't even focus on them. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, because nothing's really there. Think about it. Because anxiety is worry, excessive worry about things we don't even know about. Anxiety is excessive worry about stuff that doesn't even exist. It only exists here, and we get so concerned about, we're focusing on something that we don't even know is there because it's not there. And because it's not there, you can't focus on anything, so everything is blurred. So when you say, what are you worried about? Usually it's, I don't know, but I'm worried. We're such complex beings, aren't we? So how do I combat anxiety? Here's the simplicity of the Word of God. Number one, you've got to replace it. You've got to replace it. What do I mean? Well, it says there, be anxious for nothing, right? Because nothing's really there, so we can't be anxious for it, so the cycle keeps going around. So be anxious for nothing. And here's the operative word, instead. Instead. In other words, I'm not going to take the cares away. I'm not going to take the stress away. I'm leaving it up to you for you to activate faith and activate a decision to replace the anxiety with something. You have to replace it. So don't put yourself through a super spiritual reprogramming head shrinking session. Because what we want to do sometimes is we come to prayer meetings like we had on Friday night, which was unbelievable. It was awesome. The presence of God was here. But we come forward and want someone to lay hands on us to take away the depression or take away the anxiety or take away the worry. It will not happen. And you're saying, well, is God not capable? No, God is capable, but he won't violate his word. And he's saying to you, there are worries in this world. That's why he says, cast your care upon him. Because there are issues in this world that you're going to have to deal with. But I'm going to give you the way to deal with them. Replace the anxiety. What do I replace it with? I replace it with prayer. Right? But this is what you've got to do before. You see, when it's there and you understand it's got to be replaced, you've got to do one thing. You've got to acknowledge it exists, because you can't replace something that doesn't exist. Because if you refuse to acknowledge it's there, then you're not replacing anybody and you're still staying in the whole issue of being blurred in your life. So you have to acknowledge it. It's a bit like the alcoholic who goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. They've been sober for 40 years and they introduce themselves and say, hi, I'm Steve, I'm an alcoholic. Even though they've been sober for 40 years. It's a little bit like Paul, who introduces himself at the end of his life and says, hey, I'm Paul, the greatest sinner of all. Still understanding we're sinners saved by grace. But see, to take the steps of winning against anxiety, you've got to admit it's an issue. And say, I acknowledge it, therefore I'm going to replace it. I replace it with prayer. Put the slide up. See, this is what prayer does. Prayer engages God. Prayer activates faith. Prayer acknowledges the power of God. It acknowledges that God's power is greater than the anxiety that I'm feeling. Prayer focuses my mind and stops it from unbridled imaginations. See, it's not just pray and it goes. It says this, pray about everything, which means faith is activated in every situation, leaving no room for the enemy to deceive you. You see, the enemy is a liar. The battleground of the enemy and us is where? In our mind. And the enemy comes to steal. He comes to lie to you. He comes to confuse you. And that's why I love Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, put on the helmet of salvation. Put it on every day. And in putting it on, this is what you're declaring to the enemy. My mind is sanctified. My mind is set apart. My mind is redeemed. And you're telling the enemy, this is no playground for you. Anxiety has no place. I'm replacing it with prayer. Because I'm moving from a soul response where I'm operating in worry in my soul, and I'm operating now from a spiritual response and making a decision according to the Word of God. Colossians 4 verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. What do? You pray and you thank him. Thanking him activates faith. But thanking him does this powerful thing, right? I pray, I bring it to God, but thanking him leaves it with God. It's not just holding on to it. when I pray, Jesus, I give it to you. I pray, God, that you'll help me in this situation. God, I need my job to be secure. I'm bringing everything to him. I'm choosing to replace my thoughts with prayer, and then I thank him that he's done it. So what do? I let it go and I move on. I don't let it continue to run around in my mind. I thank him. No matter the circumstances, we know that God has our best interest at heart. We trust his character above our feelings. And I leave it with him. I pray about everything and I leave it with him and I thank him he's got it. And this is what happens. Oh, check this verse out. This is beautiful in the Amplified. And Philippians 4 verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Can you see what's happening here? Right? It's beautiful. What starts in the mind, the battle that starts in the mind, it gets reassured. It doesn't get dealt with in the mind. We get a reassurance in our heart. Right? There's something that goes past the mind. It doesn't go through logic, but it goes to a reassurance in our heart. And it comes across as that peace. You know, that peace, not just some peace, not a little bit of peace. It's that peace. It's specific. It's that peace that comes into our heart. It's like what Paul is saying earlier. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing him. Because when you know him, you get that peace. You see, that peace is that Jesus Prince of Peace type peace. It's not some peace, it's that peace. It's the same peace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had when they were in the fiery furnace. They were at peace because the Prince of Peace was in the fire with them and he was there encouraging them. It's the same peace that the disciples had when Jesus stood in the boat and told the storm to be still. It's that peace. It's the same peace that the demoniac felt when Jesus approached him and cast the demons out, legions of them into the pigs. He had a peace, and it wasn't a peace that came from a moment, it was a peace that came from a person. See, it's that peace that you felt the moment you asked Jesus in your life, all of the turmoil and storms of life disappeared and calmed because of that person of peace. And this is what it says we'll do. That peace, that person of peace will come and not only encourage your heart and reassure your heart, he'll stand as a garrison around your mind. Like soldiers posted at the doorposts of your mind, he will stand there and guard your mind. Then it says this, pray, thank God, and then fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. That word for thoughts or fix is basically the word logic. Use logic. Use, compute things. Take them into account. Basically say this, is this thought going to help me or is this thought going to cause me to go down the wrong track? Bring it into account. In other words, have a baseline that is not going to go past it. But what are those baseline thoughts? How do I think? What is the filter? Well, if it isn't true, if it isn't honorable, if it isn't right, if it isn't pure, if it isn't lovely, if it isn't admirable, if it isn't excellent and praiseworthy, discard it. Because those thoughts are not from God. Those thoughts are from the enemy that try to keep you in the spiral of anxiety where God wants you to filter it and you make a decision that this thought isn't good for me, but I take those thoughts and I put them away and I think about the good things. And let me tell you, you can't think of anybody else. There is no one who is more true than Jesus, no one who is more honorable than Jesus, no one who is more right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy than Jesus. So when those thoughts come, all you need to do is think about Jesus and what he's done for you, that he's given you life and life abundantly. And let me tell you, the Prince of Peace comes to guard your heart. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's practical. It's helpful. What else do I need to do? Keep practicing. Got to keep doing it. It's a journey. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. To learn something means it's a journey. Keep putting into practice means it's a journey. It's not a one-day therapy session. It's not a one-day blab and grab. It's not a one-day come out, someone pray on you, shunda baba, and it's all over. No, it's you having to put it into practice, you making a decision that I'm going to walk through this. Keep practicing. Keep practicing what you receive from the Word and keep practicing what you receive from your leaders. It's a journey. Pastor Sarah told me this great response. She said, you know, some people get anxious about parties and groups and they think staying home is going to help them, but in fact it's not, because if they stay home, they're giving authority to the anxiety to keep them in the box. They've just strengthened their anxiety. The best thing they can do is actually go to the party. Go to the party and face it. Because when they go to the party, they realize that the worry, anxiety was nowhere near as what it was going to the party, and they realize they could have a good time. So you got to face it, because the enemy wants, he's a liar and he wants to hold you back. Here's the whole thing of learning is a discipleship issue. If you're not in a connect group, get in one. If you're not being discipled by somebody, get discipled. Because if you're in this spiral, you need some people to stand with you to help you on the journey. It also says this, choose to be joyful, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, not rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. With joy comes strength. The joy of the Lord is my... See, when you choose to be happy, when you choose to be joyful, when you choose to put on the garment of praise, you will make a decision that honors God and you will move forward. Let praise come from your mouth. Everything is activated from your mouth. So in summary, the battle, anxiety, stress, worry, has two basic things for you to do. They're two simple things and they're continual. Number one, replace the thoughts. Just showed you from Scripture how to replace the thoughts. And number two, just keep walking. Keep walking. Jesus never said he would take it from you. Because just maybe, just like Paul who went through all those tests, just maybe God is building a testimony in you. And these things you're going through are strengthening you, maturing you, giving you understanding that God is greater than your circumstance. And each time you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And just maybe there's someone who is looking at you going through those tests who are starting to see the testimony in you and say, what is it about you? What is it that you've got? Because I see a peace about you that I don't understand. I see a peace about there that you can't put words to, but you are strong and at peace. Just maybe God is building something in you. Let me tell you this, there are no detours. There are no detours, just the well-worn tracks of faith and trust. Short Paul shows us at the end of it, and this is what he says. I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. You notice he uses the word learned. Paul had to go on the journey. He had to go through it. It's a maturing process. It's a lifestyle. And Paul could never say what he said in Philippians chapter 3 if he'd never lived out Philippians chapter 4. He could never stand and say, I count it all as garbage. I count it all as rubbish. All the things that I could attain on my own strength, I count it all as nothing except the pursuit of Christ. It means nothing to me. This morning, I want to open up the altar. I want to open up the altar to people that are dealing with this stuff. You might be just be going through a stressful situation. You might be dealing with anxiety full on. But as you come to the altar, let me tell you, us standing with you is only us standing with you. We can't pray for God to take it away. But what we are going to pray and do is pray that God will strengthen your resolve. And we want to encourage you in your decision. You see, you getting up out of your seat and walking to the front is a prophetic statement to you that you are committed to the journey. You are either committed to the journey of God dealing with these things and saying, God, I am going to face it. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to thank you for what you're doing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give it over to you. And it would be our privilege this morning to stand with you and pray with you. We would count it a joy to encourage you. But can I tell you, stage one, step one of you breaking the spiral and breaking the direction of where this takes you is for you to acknowledge it, to own it, and say, God, with your strength, with your courage, I'm making a decision to replace every thought. I'm going to pray. I'm going to think about things that are lovely and pure and whole. And I'm going to continue the journey over and over and over again.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.